meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody and welcome. Hi Christina.
Hi Father. Welcome.
Nick over there on the other side, all ready for Halloween. Although we're losing Nick.
Yes, it's a bummer.
It's so sad. He's got taken on another job.
Yeah, closer to home.
So he's been, he'll be here this week and next week, right? Yeah. But he's, taking a full-time job close to home. I mean, he's working in so many different places this way. It's going to be, and he's got a girlfriend, and he's thinking of the future and marriage
sure,
and all that, right? Family
so
and all
right.
that. So we can't
that's
be selfish.
No,
as
life
much
goes
as we
on,
wanna
right?
beg him to stay with us, but... No, it's. I've been thinking. You know, he's been here 11 years. 11 years, and I can count probably on one hand how many times he's missed. And when he's missed a show, it was because, for good reasons. In all those years, when you think about it, so.
And he doesn't live close. He lives.
No,
far.
He does. He comes in from a distance.
Yes.
So it's unfortunate, but anyway.
That's life.
It is. That's life.
That's life.
You know? He's coming on.
He's
there,
coming so. On.
Yeah, I know. I figured I'd step in for a second. I don't know where Tony is.
Tony,
but
I don't know if he's stuck
like
in
that.
Traffic
he's,
or.
Well, yeah, Armin told me that he was stuck in traffic a little bit, too.
Is he too?
So
yeah.
Traffic
yeah.
He's
is
on
heavy.
His way in here.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But no, yeah, as much as I would like to stay put, like you said, I have to think about, you know, my future and
sure.
everything else, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been fun working here, and it's been great working with everybody and getting to know you guys and, you know, working every time.
Yeah, and likewise. I mean, it just you're part of the family, and it's been 11 years, right?
11 mm-hmm. years. 11
yeah,
years. Time flies.
That started in 2013.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, we're going to miss you, Nick.
I know. I still try to keep in touch with everybody
oh,
in
yeah,
other
no,
ways.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'm not disappearing completely, but,
no,
you know, I'll figure out stuff
not.
Like that.
Well, I know I see you on Facebook.
Yeah. And I'll, you know, whenever I'm troubled, come to Father. You just send an email at least or something if I can't
sure,
do that or something
sure.
like that in person for a while or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be, I'm both nervous and excited at the same
yeah.
time.
Oh, of
and
course.
Who knows?
Mixed
maybe,
feelings,
you know,
right?
we never know. You may be back, you know,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah.
But no, it's, I can't, really, your sense of responsibility and your work ethic and all that is so rare today, you know, so it's anyway, it is what it is, you know.
I know. I
mean, yes.
Sometimes I hate that phrase because that's what Amanda sometimes says, my girlfriend.
Right.
Hi, honey bun. Just
right.
saying hello to her on here,
right.
but I understand that completely.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
So, and you see the man of a thousand voices just came in. He's going to
okay.
come around
I'll
this
go
way.
Back out
so,
there. I'm sure I'll speak to you again as we get
no,
closer.
No, we will.
Yeah, here he comes right
yeah,
now.
We'll
so there
so.
He is. But
I say the man of with a thousand voices.
Wait, I found one in my pocket.
What's that?
I found a voice in my pocket. Hi, short timer.
Hey. Armin. We haven't seen Armin for a while. I mean, he's
Armin.
Always working behind the scenes. He's a wizard behind
the
curtain.
He's the wizard
so.
Behind the curtain.
Anyway. Wow.
Well, I've been called worse.
Yeah, come on in.
I'll
yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing, Armin?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, surviving?
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Absolutely.
You know?
There we are.
Yeah. So today's the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I was going to share a little bit of Bishop Strickland's letter. I thought it was pretty... pretty interesting today, maybe. And I got 1,000 things. No, maybe not. That's an exaggeration. Maybe 10 things going to my head that I'd like to maybe address today. But how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you look good, Armin. You
thank
look
you.
Good.
I looked in the mirror this morning and I thought so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm recovering from back surgery,
and that's going well. I'm done with physical therapy, but...
Are you in any pain at all?
You know, occasionally I got some muscle cramping, but other than that, it's just a matter of gradually strengthening my back.
Because when your back's out of whack, everything's out of whack,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Jeez.
I see you have cappuccino there. What do we have?
I do. Sorry. I should have brought that to you. I didn't. You can. if you go upstairs, ask Jasmine. She'll make you one.
Oh, how good.
Yeah, we got a little machine up there. It's one of those. Everything is literally
espresso.
Is espresso. Yeah,
yeah.
Espresso. But I mean, you can make it without having to go through all the rigmarole, whatever. Yeah, I tell the people in Spanish, there's a point where the door shuts and I'm struggling with the Spanish, and that happens in English as well. So, but anyway, where's Tony?
I don't know if his wife was coming back from California today, so if he had to pick her up at the airport.
Oh, the traffic's horrendous,
the traffic is terrible, is Armin?
It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't
coming,
too bad.
I'm like, you know, I come from practically Kentucky, so it was okay.
Okay.
Are you farther away than Nick?
Oh yeah, I'm at 195th Street and LaGrange Road, Route 45.
Okay,
that's
wow.
Where Joaquin is. It's a, for lack of a better description, a suburb of Orland Park.
Okay, so that's a part of Chicago or Chicagoland. I just don't know.
It's,
I only really know the city.
It's far south.
So you saw. I thought about this after I talked to you yesterday on the phone that you were going to see Father Loya.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was recording his voice track for
his
program.
I had lunch with him, what was it, Labor Day?
Ah.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Good.
We hadn't, I hadn't really been able to sit down and, well, we've really never sat down and had a conversation. I mean, we've had conversations here and there here, you know, years ago, but what a remarkable, remarkable man.
I miss Father Loya.
Yeah.
Tell him I said hello, Armin.
I will.
He's
I
got
to go
just
visit
some
him.
Real keen.
Yes.
He needs to be at the Synod on Synodality, what I think. You know.
I think. Well, yeah. I think he would be an interesting voice
considering
the current regime.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was there, and then Father our Canon Tallarico was there as well from the Institute of Christ the King. So we had a really very nice conversation.
Great.
About just. You know, reading the signs of the times and what's going on and how we navigate through all this. And, you know, who's in charge here? The Lord is in charge of his church.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he never deceived us in saying it would be easy. And he said, you pick up your cross and follow me. But we got to stay the course. We got to push. There's Tony. He's going to, he's taking your place over there.
Well,
Armin.
There he is.
So you get Nick's nobody can replace Nick, but we've got maybe Nick's replacement over there. Huh? He says no.
No, he doesn't want to do that.
No. Anyway. All right. Well, shall we pray?
Please.
Yes.
Okay.
We need prayer.
We do. Got to pray every day. I had the eighth graders yesterday, and that's the one thing I'm really going to focus on through the whole year is the prayer. I want to bring them to really, especially in silence, in adoration. So let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. And you know, as we're going to just pray a decade of the chaplet, I was in the chapel just came from there. But thinking about, you know, on this Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, when really very few have real regard for the significance and the ramifications of the atoning death of Jesus, you know, which is our salvation, our redemption. And the chaplet, I think very providentially, has been given to us in a time, certainly when people are innocently, in many ways, some are innocently gone, lost, because of just the tyranny of noise, the rude noise, or the cacophony of noise, but also the just the idea that God is somehow has become a permissive God, where while on the other hand he describes himself as a demanding God, and he took love to the extreme, and love is asking from us love in response to love. And I think the chaplet is our interceding, acknowledging before the Father that indeed we're grateful, and we intercede on behalf of those who are indifferent or even hostile to the cross, which is our redemption, our sanctification. And so we're basically in the breach, like Moses, interceding, acknowledging before the Father the great gift that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. Men rather chose to stay in darkness. They wouldn't come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed, because the light came into the world. And so we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy
Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And of course, we ask for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially in view of our nation and the Church today in this rather disoriented time. As we're going through what is truly a diabolical disorientation. So we ask that through her intercession, we might be awakened to the reality of who God is and who we are in relation to God. And so we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to Thee do we come, before Thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in Thy mercy hear and answer us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Armin's here, which means we have to take a break, right? So it's funny when you're here, you know.
I'm instilling a little radio discipline
here. Yeah, right, right.
You better behave.
Right, in your presence, it always happens, you know. So we are 15 minutes into the show. We will take a break, okay? You know how I normally, when you're gone, you know what I do? You're probably listening. You know, so at least we always get at least one or two breaks in, you know. So we should do the three, right?
Yes, you should.
We're going to behave today, Armin.
All right, Dad. We'll be obedient. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back on this, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Armin's going to go to his side where he belongs, and Tony's coming back over here where he belongs. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Christina.
Hi, Father.
Nick, Armin. Everybody's here today.
He left the whole crew. Headphones nice and warm.
Oh,
thank
yeah,
you.
See? Because Armin was here.
Yeah.
Today's a Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I want to read from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's interesting. Last night I had a couple in the office, and so I was preparing them for marriage, and he's from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So he was filling out the paperwork, and I was writing Philippine. You know, how do you spell Philippine? I said, you know, I've heard people say Paul's letter to the Filipinos, right?
Instead of the Philippians?
Right,
the Philippines.
But it's actually, I think it's spelled the same way.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never noticed that.
I believe it is.
So could you say?
I've heard people say instead of the Philippians, they say the Philippines.
Philippines. Let me see if I can find it.
I remember one time.
Yes, here we go.
Go ahead. That there was you had the high school, elementary school graduation for Rudy Lozano.
Right. Oh yes.
And there was the Deuteronomy, and that's a hard.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
It's a hard name, and the girl. I'll never forget the look on her face. I guess it was the first time she saw the reading
yeah.
And eyes just popped out, and she's.
What did she say?
She said a reading from the book of, she said the Terminator.
The Terminator.
She said the Terminator.
That would make sense. I could see that. Anyway. Well, it could be, you know.
And that was my first day at work here. The first day.
Okay,
I'll never forget.
How do you get Terminator?
The Terminator.
Oh, the Terminator.
The
Terminator.
The Chicago
She said the Terminator.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy. I don't know. She was nervous, obviously.
Well, I don't think she may. I mean, just looking at the word could
the,
be.
The word.
Yeah. I'll listen, be back.
Anyway, this is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. By the way, it is spelled the same way.
Is it? Oh.
So, anyway, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself obediently, accepting even death, death on the cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, just going back to the chaplet, it doesn't surprise me, really, and the more and more I think about this, that because how few people really bend their knees at the name of Jesus, how little regard we have for the cross and the triumph of the cross, the suffering that preceded the triumph of the cross. And so every time we pray the chaplet, we're standing before the Father. Because we begin, what do we say? Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity. In the name of all humanity, I offer you the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. So we're standing in the name of all humanity, or kneeling on our knees. Certainly after Mass, we're on our knees before the Blessed Sacrament. We pray the chaplet. But we're doing so, the little Anoim, the small flock, sinners that we are, but acknowledging as well all those who do not acknowledge before the Father the greatest manifestation of God's love, his greatest attribute, which is mercy, insofar as he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save us. And the light came into the darkness, but people rather chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And so it just makes so much sense to me why God would, through St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, give us in this era in which we're living the chaplet of the whole message, but the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. And what preceded that was the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, who gave us, she gave us a rosary, many centuries before that, but who Our Lady called us to pray daily the rosary for conversion and for peace, and telling us that, atheism would spread throughout the world and in a very systemic form, communism. And indeed, it's on the rise in an unprecedented day, in this day in our time, even in our own nation. And with that comes godlessness, because it is systemic atheism. Get God out of the way, get him out of the picture, and those who adhere to him, those who believe in him, those who humbly acknowledge him, surrender their lives to him, that they've got to be pushed to the fringe as well. The aversion that people have for the cross is spoken about in Scripture. Even in Islam, in studying the catechism, because one of our parishioners had converted to Islam, came back to the church, and when she came back, I had asked her, what was the process by which you entered into Islam? And she shared with me the catechism, and I read it, and there too, it was... I say there too, because the Jews who didn't accept Jesus, this was inconceivable to them, that the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one to set them free and bring them back into their status as a nation, a great nation, would come meek and humble and submit himself, allow himself to be taken by force to suffer this horrible death on the cross in atonement for sins. And so the cross became, so this aversion to the cross that they had, that this is inconceivable. And when you read the catechism, if you're entering into Islam, it's the same thing. Jesus is accepted as a prophet, but he cannot be God, because it's inconceivable that Allah, God, would condescend, stripped naked, scourged, beaten, crowned with thorns, crucified on a cross, undergo death. This is inconceivable to them. And yet it becomes our solitary boast, because it is our salvation, and it's a manifestation of God's greatest his incomprehensible love and his greatest attribute, which is mercy, and God identifies with humanity, sparing himself nothing of what we suffer, and he who didn't sin was made sin because he took our sins to himself. He became sin, as Scripture says. And so that nobody, but nobody, as many times as I say this, nobody can say, God does not understand what I suffer, whether in the mind, in the body, in the soul, or in the spirit. He didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer, but took it all to the cross, took it down into death, and takes the sting out of death, because he's a triumphant. The cross is exalted into triumph, because it becomes, again, the symbol, the source of our salvation, our redemption, that no matter how dark the dark is, this light is more powerful, that beyond death there is life, and that as Jesus says, you know, to all of us, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't, as I again say so often, the world that doesn't acknowledge God will deceive us. The free reign of the flesh will deceive us. The devil is certainly a deceiver, seducer. He creates the illusion. He's also the accuser. God didn't deceive us in saying that, you know, we're on account of his name, we will be rejected. If we belong to him, the world will not accept us as its own. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but have courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. And the cross we keep before us always, because there we meditate, we reflect, we contemplate on God's compassion, God's empathy, God's love, God's mercy. And it's in the cross that we are healed and we are saved, redeemed. And so he takes the sting out of death and sets us free from our slavery to sin and death, because we fall into sin, but we have a means to be reconciled to God through the cross, which is perpetuated. That messianic hour, the hour of our salvation, is perpetuated, renewed on the altar of sacrifice. And certainly, if we're in grave sin, we have the sacrament of reconciliation, whereby we hear the words of absolution. I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, because Jesus sent the apostles. Go and preach repentance from sin, conversion of life, metanoia, a change of heart, a turning toward God from whom we come. We're created by God, for God, loved into life, created in beauty and goodness, in his image and likeness, and we're destined for God. And so as we're on our way in this world, which we're not condemned to be here forever, but as we're in the valley of tears, in the battle, fighting the good fight, up against the spirit of the world, spirit of the enemy, the free reign of the flesh, we're up against these powers and principalities. We cleave to Jesus. We lean into Jesus, in his cross, through his cross, into the glory and light of the resurrection. So it's and therefore in gratitude we bend our knees at the name of Jesus, and all nations will bend their knees at the end of all things, because he will come to judge the living and the dead. And as I said just I think before the break, that this great manifestation of love there has to be some response in love. To love, God is not a permissive God, and which is kind of an attitude. It goes into this whole moral therapeutic deism, that oh yes, there's a God. God is basically permissive. I can go to God if I have a problem. Otherwise, you know, God, I leave God to be in his heaven up there beyond the beyond, and it's more of a self-help kind of a view toward God, but that I can do what I want. And this is completely contrary. This is heresy. This is Gnosticism revisiting the world in a very big way. So the exaltation of the cross is, I'll go back to, again, the chaplet is, it's not surprising that the Lord gave us the chaplet and that the Anawim, the flock, the remnant, if you want to call it, during this time of great apostasy, would be on their knees praying on behalf of fallen, lost humanity. Humanity that is very much under the influence of the cacophony of this world, the rude noise of the world, this tyranny of noise. That's why I was telling Armin, I think, during the break, and Christina, before you got here, Tony, or maybe you were there, that I started my class with the eighth graders, but I'm really going to, and not just with the eighth graders, but with all the students, really focus on the necessity of prayer and bring them weekly. They've got to come weekly for adoration, yeah, in addition to the Mass, but adoration, to be silent, be still, know that He is God. You know, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Here I am. I come to do your will. Have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. And see, all that's contained in the prayer of the chaplet, which is really an extension of the Holy Mass. But Jesus, what do we say? So, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, the blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Isn't that needed today, that prayer?
Yeah, the divine mercy, I wanted to break in here as you were talking. It's really been so, you know, people say, well, I pray, I do this way, whatever. But the thing about the divine mercy for me brought me into the silence. That's why, again, even in the words that you just said, you're there praying for all of humanity. And there's something really, really special about that. And it's, for me, I was not a rosary guy, and I could not say the rosary. I don't know why. It's a different prayer. And everybody has their they have their different prayers. But with the divine mercy, it opened the door for me for the rosary. But even in the praying of the divine mercy, I see how it's the cross. That's why I don't understand how people can say, let's not talk about the cross. Let's talk about it. The cross is the most important thing.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and it's almost like, in a sense, the why. I think it's the doorway to the real mysticism. When you start realizing, this is my God. He came down to earth. We crucified him. And now when you think, okay, now I'm in prayer saying, Jesus, forgive me, or I'm praying for myself and the world. So it's so, I guess when you have that time to be in silence, these things become, mm-hmm, when these things became clear to me, that's, it's like you can't go back.
Yeah, going back to the rosary, because that was a point that I was going to make, and I didn't make it, when our Lady at Fatima gave us a prayer, adding to the decad, this is what I understand was given. Somebody refuted that, but it's always been known. It came from Our Lady and her locutions or apparition to Sister Lucia, after the apparitions, perhaps, but the prayer that was added to the decade, that she asked that we pray, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins.
Yes.
Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Mm-hmm. So if that was given at Fatima, then what? And just maybe 15 years later or less, the given to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska was the entire chaplet of the chaplet. Divine Mercy, using the rosary beads to pray for, have mercy on us and all the
as you were talking, I saw that tie, I saw that, mm-hmm, connection. That's, it's one of the things too in silence and adoration, which is very important, which at the beginning I thought my church hour, the little hour I gave on Sunday was my, you know, that was all I needed. But when you start going into adoration, you sit there and you're silent and you're trying not to pray, but you're listening. Prayer comes naturally. Mm-hmm. And I got really say I learned how to pray in that silence.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, when I started going back to, okay, I'm saying the chaplet almost every day, I wanted to go to say a rosary. And, yeah, and I saw the connection with the rosary, and I'm right, like,
and
oh,
the chaplet.
Right. Yeah. And then it seems that it stems
and
from that.
And they're both connected. Both prayers are very powerful. I noticed with the chaplet, it's so powerful. I prayed it before people that are ill, especially the people that are in agony, the ones that are passing from this world. I prayed it before when my grandmother was dying, and she asked for the prayer, the chaplet. Right. I asked her, and she wanted it. And as I was praying the chaplet in Spanish at the hospital, it was a comfort for her, and she was praying along, and the tears were just rolling down her cheeks.
You know, it brings back, you know, and you know Catherine Hernandez.
Yes.
So when I went to visit her, and she was, she had died as well, but she could barely, you know, she was there, but she barely respond or anything. You know, she was just all I could do was be there, anoint her, talk to her, but when I prayed the chaplet, she responded to the prayers, and the tears coming down her eyes as well. It's very beautiful. It's a very powerful prayer. But the final thing, we'll take a break, is, you know, certainly the cross and the resurrection, the full Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, well, his ascension, and also the giving of the Holy Spirit. Today, what's happened is the de-emphasis on the part of many on the cross and the emphasis on the resurrection, as if we can get to the resurrection without having to go by way of the cross. And everybody's got this, Jesus, pick up your cross and follow me. And so we look to the cross because there we can identify with God who condescended, took on our flesh, again, took our sins to himself, didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer, and calls us to look beyond the cross. Well, we are able to, we look beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection. But the cross is empathy, compassion, redemption, salvation. And don't we need that from one another, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. Today is a feast of the exaltation of the cross. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org, ststanschicago.org. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer-board operator.
The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. Also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, here with Tony and Christina, Nick and Armin. We're all here today. I want to talk about God's wrath a little bit here, too.
Sure.
You know, it seems strange on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, but again, it's to counter. You know, we got to keep things in perspective and in a certain balance. And I also have the pastoral letter of Bishop Strickland. He brings up some good points, but I think we're going to get to that. Probably not today. I don't think we're going to have the time, but we will within the next. Tomorrow's the feast of the Sorrowful Mother, and I don't know if we'll get into that tomorrow, maybe next week. But I do want to, because it's all kind of related. It's keeping balance, keeping things in perspective, and keeping balance. But in the readings for today. On this feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I'm just reading here a quote from St. John of the Cross, who said, "Whoever does not seek the cross of Christ doesn't seek the glory of Christ." That's so true. So, so true. But from the book of, reading from the book of of Numbers, from the Old Testament, I read, as is read today in the throughout the Catholic world, with their patience worn out by the journey, these are the people on moving through the desert to the word of the promised land after having been set free from Egypt, their slavery in Egypt. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the desert, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people, so many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. He lived. So this is a prelude to Jesus being lifted up on the cross, that as we look to the cross, we be healed, set free from our slavery to sin and death. He takes the sting out of death. But God was angry. He punished the people, and then he gave them opportunity for salvation, right? For healing. It's just something about the wrath of God, because people think, well, the God of the Old Testament, many would say, is a God who punishes. They will attribute wrath to the God of the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. And yet, it's the same God. And certainly Jesus is pretty strong, even in the Gospels, and if you read the epistles as well. We have this, again, if there's an aversion to the cross, and we want the resurrection without the cross, there's also an aversion to God's wrath or his punishment. God is love. God couldn't punish. God couldn't punish. I mean, I do hear many people today, and in view of what's going on in the world, say, you know, God isn't going to, how long is God going to put up with our nonsense? you know, when is he going to manifest himself? Certainly, if you know, he can leave us to our own designs, and we bring ourselves into ruin, we condemn ourselves. But why would God punish? Okay, the question of divine wrath is rooted in God's jealousy for his people. He's a jealous God. His love is it's a jealous love, not sinfully so, but this is God. God in who's perfect, whose love is incomprehensible. Again, the only power God doesn't have is what? There's one power. God is all powerful. There's one power he doesn't possess. It's the power not to love us. But again, he can't force us, because that wouldn't be love, to respond in love to his love. It's an invitation, but a very strong invitation, because he says, what more can I do? He laid down his life, took himself, he allowed himself to be taken to the cross. Before that, he was mocked, he was blasphemed, he was stripped naked, scourged, crowned with thorns, mocked again, carried his own cross, crucified on that cross. From that cross, what did he do? He cried, "Father, forgive them." I think about that. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." From that cross, he looked at the repentant thief. One was mocking him, blaspheming him. The other dismissed, said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said, I promise you, this day you will be with me in paradise." What did he say? He gave us his mother from the cross, woman. She who is at the foot of the cross. Tomorrow we'll commemorate her sharing uniquely and distinctly in the sufferings of her son, in the work of redemption, in the feast of the sorrowful mother. Woman, behold your son, John, who represents all of us. Son, behold your mother. Even from the cross, what did he cry? You know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who hasn't cried that from the depths of their hearts, their soul, at some point or another in life? Jesus felt that at a certain point, the absence of God, he quotes a psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It wasn't so much as Mother Teresa would say, not so much a thirst, bodily thirst, but I thirst for the salvation of these, my people. And then finally, it is finished. He did what he came to do. He laid down his life in order to redeem us and save us, a manifestation of the Father's love and the Son's love for his Father and for all of us, the second person of the Trinity. But going back to the question of divine wrath, why would God punish? He punished the Israelites, but then gave them the opportunity for redemption. But it's a, number one, it's a strong way to signify that God is not indifferent to man's attitude toward him. Again, he created us for himself, so he's not indifferent, and that should be a source of consolation to all of us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. God also knows that it is man's good to adore the true God, and that idolatry harms the human heart. So God is life. Again, the enemies of the soul, the world that doesn't acknowledge God, the free reign of the flesh, the devil and all his cunning, his deception, his seductions, creating the illusion, also the accusation. So God also knows that it is man's good to adore the true God, the only God, and that idolatry, falsehood, harms the human heart. This is like any parent would be angry, right? And chastise a child who's going down a path that's going to bring them harm. Finally, it's important to bear in mind that God had entrusted a special mission to his people, to Israel, but also to all of us, in the midst of all the people. In the case of the Israelites, in the midst of the neighboring people, the Near East, who were all polytheistic, had many, many gods. So in view of all people, again, that's why it goes back to the chaplet. Why? We pray the We intercede. We offer prayers of supplication before the Father, acknowledging His Son in view of all those who are indifferent or hostile or who are bringing harm to others, adding to the disorder in the world. So we have that mission to be to give witness. Israel, but also we, the Messianic people in the new covenant, eternal and universal, we take care to keep the faith and adoration toward the one true God, creator of the universe, in order, again, to give witness of this faith and adoration to other peoples, that through us they are drawn to know the one true God. And then finally, Israel's infidelity and our infidelity has negative consequences for other peoples who again are deprived of witness. And that's why, you know, we seek not to live duplicitous lives, but to live with authenticity. Yes, we fall, we sin, when we begin the Holy Mass, which is a perpetuation of Calvary, the Messianic hour, the exaltation of the cross, we enter into that sacrifice in order to reap the fruit of the sacrifice, in order to have communion with God, to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ as food for the journey, that we not collapse and that He reproduces life in us so that our witness is authentic. But we enter into that sacred liturgy, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which brings us to the banquet of the Lamb, acknowledging that we are sinners. And what is the prayer? But Lord, have mercy on me, right? Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my most grievous fault. And I ask you, here we go, like the other day. Do you remember? I confess.
I confess to Almighty God
and to you, my brothers and
sisters, that I have sinned through my own grievous fault.
Okay, let's we'll leave it at that, okay?
I mean, I know it when I'm at church. I have to go to church and do it.
That's what it is.
There's no books at church, too.
But then also, before we receive Holy Communion, right, we acknowledge again, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the words and my soul shall be healed. Yeah. Repeating the words of the centurion who didn't feel worthy that Jesus would come into his home to heal his servant. So, anyway, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this idea that God cannot, that God will not punish it, God will not chastise, is contrary to what we read in the whole of sacred scripture. But His chastisement, His punishment, is for love of us, yeah, to save us from ourselves. So the cross is again, it's God's incomprehensible love and taking. And in his greatest attribute, which is mercy, but we have to avail ourselves of God's mercy, acknowledging that we miss a mark, or if we've really missed a mark, really in a bad way, we've been down a bad road, and it's brought us into the abyss of darkness and misery. Then thanks be to God, God reaches out His hand and says, let me lift you out of this abyss of darkness, is misery. And that's and by the way, that we live each day, because what are the four things we do at Mass? We go to adore God, we go to thank God, we go to offer prayers of supplication, and we seek the forgiveness of our sins. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our web-based archive. Familiarity with Adobe Audition is desirable. also have knowledge of the teachings of the Catholic faith. The Winds of Change Studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Interested parties may submit resumes to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. As we wrap up, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change here with Tony and Christina. Nick over there, who's going to leave us.
Oh, no.
And I'm in. Who is with us, the man of 1,000 voices. Of course, I don't know if you know Nick. Oh, he took his hat off. You know, he was already getting ready for Halloween, for the pumpkin. He's
keep
a pumpkin
keep the
man.
Hat on.
It's the pumpkin patch over there.
You know, so let me just end with this. You know, again, it's the letter from Paul's letter to the Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend. He who condescended, humbled himself. He who didn't sin, became sin, took our sins to himself, and took them to the cross, and redeems us. He, the supreme high priest, the only priest, the only real priest. I'm a priest in the priesthood of Christ Jesus. In persona Christi, he exercises his priesthood through me, but also through all of you who are baptized. We all share in the priesthood of Christ. And so as the children asked me, when I had the eighth graders, I gave the class, and then they have a whole list of questions, so I only had time for one question. And the question was, as a priest, do you make sacrifice? What sacrifices do you make? And I said, well, yes, of course. You know, I don't have a wife and I don't have children. I don't have a family. And so that's a sacrifice. I'm called to live in a pure way, to be chaste. But I said, our love is sacrificial, emulating Christ Jesus. And I pointed to the teacher. I said, you know, your teacher, Mrs. Randall, she's made a sacrifice. She's married. She has her children. She opened this door, closed doors to other possibilities. And the fact that she teaches in a Catholic school, she's making a sacrifice because she could be teaching in the public school and making a lot more money. And so she's making a sacrifice because of her love for Christ and her love for you. And, you know, we render service to the Lord in service one to another. And I said, really, it's all of us are called to make this sacrifice, some sacrifice, that we don't put ourselves at the center, but we put Christ at the center. And I didn't say it, but I'm thinking it now. You know, when we live our lives, we bend our knee at the name of Jesus, who redeemed us and saved us through the shedding of his own blood, the exaltation of the cross, through his death and the resurrection. Through his death, we have life. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.